Well, the U.S. President Donald Trump has said that rogue elements may have been responsible for the alleged death of journalist Kamal Khashoggi. U.S. senators like Mitch McConnell, for example, have said lawmakers need to find out what has happened to Khashoggi before deciding what action to take. In this edition of Debate, we will look at why the U.S. has not taken action before, like in the case of the Saudi killings in Yemen, or other crimes that the Saudis have been guilty of.
On October 2nd, Jamal Khashoggi visits the Saudi consulate in Istanbul at 1:14 p.m. local time, seeking the documents he needs in order to marry his fiancée, Hatice Cengiz. Ms. Cengiz waits outside the building for several hours, holding Khashoggi's two mobile phones, but he does not reemerge. She then phones the Turkish police to raise concerns about the journalist's safety. On October 3rd, a spokesman for Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan says Khashoggi is still inside the consulate. The Saudi government issues a statement confirming that the journalist is missing, but says he left the consulate building after the appointment. On October 4th, Turkey summons the Saudi ambassador in Ankara to discuss the disappearance. Saudi Arabia says it will allow Turkey to search its consulate in Istanbul. Two Turkish officials say they believe Khashoggi was killed inside the consulate. They say Ankara believes the murder was premeditated and the body was subsequently moved out of the building. The Saudi government denies any involvement in Khashoggi's disappearance after reports that he was killed. The Turkish television releases CCTV footage showing the moment Khashoggi entered the kingdom's consulate and the movements of a team suspected of involvement in his disappearance. Turkish media, which released surveillance camera video, say they were members of an elite Saudi assassination squad sent to kill Khashoggi. U.S. President Donald Trump makes his first comments on the disappearance, saying he contacted the Saudis and invited Cengiz to the White House. The Washington Post reports the Turkish government told the White House that it has audio and video recordings proving Khashoggi was killed inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. The paper also cites U.S. officials saying Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman ordered the operation targeting the journalist. On October 15th, Turkey searches the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. The inspection is carried out by both Turkish and Saudi officials and lasts for 9 hours.
Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, we have the former U.S. diplomat in Saudi Arabia, Michael Springman, who joins us from Washington, D.C. And we have the Secretary General of the Next Century Foundation, William Morris, who joins us from London. Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you both. And William Morris, let me start out with you. This piece of news came out roughly about half hour ago or 40 minutes ago from a U.S. media outlet that said that the missing Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi's body was cut up after he was killed. A Turkish official has told this media outlet. So maybe, and I'm going to ask you this, maybe that explains why Saudi Arabia is not giving out this report that they're supposed to, which will acknowledge the fact that Khashoggi has been killed. Do you think that may be a reason?
Well, I mean, he was killed. That's evident. The Turks have tapes. They were bugging the consulate. That also is evident. It's slightly embarrassing for them to admit it, but that's how they've acquired these recordings. And Jamal was dismembered, I'm sure of that. They've had cleanup teams going into the consulate before they allowed the inspection. Jamal Khashoggi, as I used to call him, he was a family friend of ours, and it's a great tragedy to see this having happened. He was a great man, a good man, and a very honorable man, and a very honest man. I don't think, for what it's worth, I don't think the killing was deliberate in the sense that I think the intention was to drug him and remove him to Saudi Arabia. And that he was ill, actually, when he went into the consulate. He wasn't in the best of health, and I think they overdosed him or whatever. In any way, they killed him accidentally, but they certainly killed him, and his foolishly then dismembered the body. I mean, that seems to be evident. But what to say about this? There's too much of this going on. It's a disgrace that this kind of thing happens. This rendering of people, this kidnapping of people, the assassination of people, the Israelis, the Russians, everybody is doing it these days. The Americans and the British have done it. You look at the assassination in Britain of Russian expatriates. This kind of thing has to stop. The world must clean up its act, all these nations, and Saudi Arabia included. It's a disgrace what's happened, really.
Well, Michael Springman, let me get your reaction on what U.S. President Donald Trump said 24 hours ago, roughly, that rogue killers may have murdered Khashoggi. There are many deductions made from that. What is your deduction from that statement that Donald Trump has made?
Well, I think the statement was made because people are asking hard questions of the American government. But in actual fact, the president sent his Secretary of State over to Saudi Arabia, and the Secretary of State Pompeo has been talking with King Salman and the Crown Prince, or the current Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, and they've been reiterating how strong the ties between Saudi Arabia and the United States are, and how important they are, and the fact that the sale of as much as $110 billion worth of American weapons to Saudi Arabia will go forward. I think that if you can say statements are crocodile tears, then these were the ones. Donald Trump and the American government have stayed out of this. They have ignored this finger-pointing tarantella that's been running for 2 weeks about whether Khashoggi was killed in the consulate, was abducted, was dismembered, or died as a result of an intense interrogation. Yet they had 15 specialists, including bodyguards and an autopsy specialist, go to the consulate and take care of Khashoggi. And he's not the first person that the Saudis have taken care of. They've had Hussein Hathloul, they've had Nimr al-Nimr in the eastern province. They've had attacks in Awamiya, the region in the eastern province. You're talking about a country that doesn't like dissidents, that punishes dissidents. There's no public demonstrations there. There's a controlled press. Trade unions are illegal. And if you criticize the royal family, if you're lucky, you'll go to jail. So I think that the American government has to put its foot down on the Saudi neck and say no more weapons, get out of Yemen, end that aggression war, forget about this nonsense about Russians going around killing people. It's the Israelis and the Saudis who do it. The Israelis routinely kill journalists and medical workers and doctors, and there's no public outcry from the Washington Post. Yet suddenly, when their tame Arab, Jamal Khashoggi, writes occasionally critical essays about Saudi Arabia, the Washington Post has an article about him every day on the front page. This is nonsense. The man, according to Assad Abu Khalil, a Lebanese journalist, was not a real journalist. He was somebody who supported the Saudi dogma of repression. He's a man who believed in whatever the Saudis did was right. He was a man who was a friend of Osama bin Laden until the Saudi government decided it shouldn't be friends anymore. I think his big problem was he picked the wrong princes to buddy up to. What will come in the future of this, I don't know. There are suggestions being made that they will bring back Mohammed bin Nayef, the former crown prince and former interior minister, to replace Mohammed bin Salman, right, or maybe bring back the American ambassador to Washington, Khalid bin Salman, and put him in as crown prince. I think that the Saudis are in deep trouble, and that the United States and the Israelis can't get them out of it.
Huh. We're going to talk about the Israeli connection here indirectly, as to whether it does influence any decisions that are being made at the White House and even in Riyadh. But William Morris, let's focus on to the young prince, Mohammed bin Salman. The focus, by some accounts, is him right now. And I'd like to find out from you if you think that he is, by some descriptions, combustible in terms of some of the actions that he has taken. Our guests are talking about Mohammed bin Nayef. He was pushed out by bin Salman, the Yemen war, the detainment of the Lebanese Prime Minister Saad al-Hariri, forcing him to resign from Saudi Arabia, and of course that shakedown by some accounts, the detainment of the elite businessmen and royalty inside the kingdom. Do you think that this young prince, first of all, given the some of the incidents that he or some of the actions that he has taken, may perhaps been the one to have ordered this?
Well, let me just correct one thing that was said. Jamal Khashoggi, as I used to always call him, Khashoggi, but Jamal was a real journalist. He even wrote articles for my own family's paper, The Voice of the Arab World. I mean, he was very much a real journalist. He wrote for The Washington Post. It's quite ridiculous to suggest otherwise. I mean, what is a journalist? You only accept people as journalists that express your point of view? I mean, that's bizarre. Jamal was a journalist, and he died. He was a journalist for The Washington Post. He was a great man. He was a compassionate man. He was a considerate man. He was a good man. And I won't hear his name belittled. I mean, he was a substantial man who was killed. And I believe he was killed in an attempt to render him to Saudi Arabia. As for Mohammed bin Salman, I mean, he is staying. He's not going anywhere. Mohammed bin Nayef is not coming back. Mohammed bin Salman has a strong position. He will retain that strong position. He's a friend of Donald Trump. They will retain their friendship. There'll be a little bit of posturing in the aftermath of this grave error. But he's not going away. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is not going away. He will remain in control and in command. I really very much doubt that there's going to be any change.
It's very interesting, Michael Springman, that William Morris has the conviction that he has in terms of this being an error. And the passion that he spoke about regarding Khashoggi was not then, in a sense, in my opinion, being balanced out by some of the horrific atrocities that Saudi Arabia has committed in the past years, decades, and we can go back on a whole variety of issues, such as human rights abuses, such as the Yemen war. About 17 people were killed just days ago. 14,000, over 14,000. 2017, 50,000 children. Some accounts say a child dies every 2 minutes. I mean, some of the things that Saudi Arabia is somewhat involved in here. First of all, why do you think Saudi Arabia's report card, in terms of some of the bad things that they have done, did not serve the media's attention or catch the media's attention, but yet Khashoggi's life did?
Well, Khashoggi's situation is that he worked occasionally for the Washington Post, and the Washington Post is very close to the American government, and the American press tries to protect its own. They like tame Arabs, they like tame brown men, they want somebody to say what they want them to say. According to the Lebanese journalist Abu Khalil, he said that when Khashoggi was writing in Arabic, he was passionate in defense of the Palestinians, but he was not passionate in defense of the Palestinians in English, writing for the Washington Post. So I think that the Lebanese journalist is correct. The guy was a two-faced journalist, if you can call him that. When he worked for the newspaper Al-Watan, he promoted the Saudi line. He promoted the repression of the government. He supported a country that did not brook dissent of any kind whatsoever. Even though the Human Rights Watch people have vigorously condemned Saudi Arabia last year for its attacks on clerics, on attacks on intellectuals, and attacks on activists. So I think that you've got to look deeply into the situation. You've got to look at what looks to be a working cover-up to minimize it, to focus solely on Khashoggi and nothing else, and to let the Saudis continue on buying weapons from Washington for their wars in Yemen and support of terrorism in the region, and to keep up their pressure on Qatar and their verbal assaults on Iran.
William Morris, you have a reaction.
Well, I mean, Khashoggi, Jamal Khashoggi was a good man. He stood for what he stood for, and he died. And I will not speak ill of the dead. He's a good man who was killed, and he was a journalist. If you're talking about the sins of Saudi Arabia, I mean, Saudi Arabia, Israel, the United States, Iran have all failed to sign the optional protocol against torture. Indeed, Iran has failed to sign the torture convention, you know, at the United Nations. We have nations here that do not tolerate opposition, and they deal with their opposition quite ruthlessly. And Saudi Arabia is not the only nation to behave in this way. We have to find begin to find a better world where people do not assassinate their opposition, do not torture their opposition, do not imprison their opposition. We need a better world. We need all to set an example, including Iran. But Jamal Khashoggi was a great man. In my view, he was a good journalist, and he said what he said, and he died for it.
Okay. Michael Springman, let's look at some of the reactions coming from where you are in Washington, D.C. I'm guessing that this particular Republican senator is there. Maybe I'm wrong. If I am, I'm sorry, but I want to refer to the U.S. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham. Very vocal. He has accused the Saudi Crown Prince. He says nothing happens in Saudi Arabia without bin Salman knowing it. He's called him a wrecking ball who is jeopardizing relations with the U.S. and that he should be replaced. Not only that, that he said that U.S. senators should push for sanctions. What do you think? Do you agree with Graham? Do you think U.S. senators ultimately will succeed in pushing for sanctions?
Well, I don't normally agree with Lindsey Graham, but in this case, what you quoted, I heartily agree with. I think that that is exactly what should be done. I think we have to deal with Saudi Arabia as a real thing, as not something that's a massive purchaser of American weapons. I think we need to look at the Global Magnitsky Act and get the Senate Judiciary and Foreign Relations Committees together to adopt sanctions on Saudi Arabia, on its businesses, on its politicians, on its crown princes, on its 4,000 other princes. When I was in Jeddah, the CIA base chief, Eric Quackenbush, once told me that Saudi Arabia is a well-administered police state. And I think he's correct, and I think as time has gone by, I think he's been proved more correct.
William Morris, former Senate Intelligence Chair Bob Graham had an interview in one of the major stations there in the U.S. and said that the U.S. should not ignore or cover up the role of the Saudis when it comes to the Khashoggi. But do you think that U.S. is trying to or is showing that it wants to cover up what has occurred?
Yes, it's an interesting situation, isn't it? Let me make it clear. I'm against arms sales. I'm also against sanctions. So there you've got a conflict in itself. But I don't think sanctions on Iran or Saudi Arabia anywhere have been productive. I don't like the whole business of sanctions. But I don't think encouraging more sanctions is the answer, although I would be glad to see an end to these massive arms sales everywhere. The situation now, I mean, there is a cover-up. There will be a cover-up. And Turkey, Saudi Arabia, the United States will want to brush this under the table. I mean, there have been some quite strong comments, surprisingly strong comments from the U.S. Even countries like Britain will want to brush this under the table and then go back to normal business. How they will go about this, they'll find a fall guy, perhaps the consul himself, I have no idea, but somebody will be made to take the rap, I guess, and everything will be, well, the world will at least the world leaders of Britain, America, Saudi Arabia will hope to see this situation go away, because they won't want it to last. They won't want this problem to disrupt international trade with Saudi Arabia. But there you are.
Those leaders that he's talking about there, Michael Springman from the UK, from France and Germany, they have said that they want there to be responsibility for this. In other words, accountability. Is this going to be a divide now between these countries and maybe the U.S., who is more of a ally for Saudi Arabia and has stood up for Saudi Arabia by some accounts more than these three countries? Or do you think that, as William Morris said, they all want to pretty much have this, in a sense, swept under the rug and then to go back to business as usual?
Well, I think Mr. Morris is correct. In the case of Germany, for example, various parts of the government are outraged that the Merkel administration is continuing to sell weapons to Saudi Arabia, even though they have said, well, we shouldn't do this. It's something that's not in keeping with German foreign policy. Yet when Mama Merkel looks at the bottom line and sees how many euros will flow into the German treasury for the weapons they produce and sell to Saudi Arabia, they're quite happy. I think the French are much the same way. And certainly the British are. The British and the Americans are the major suppliers of weapons to Saudi Arabia for their war in Yemen. So I think that there's not going to be any divide between Britain and the European Union and the United States.
Very well. We're going to end it there. We're fresh out of time. Thank you very much. Let me thank our guests. Former U.S. diplomat in Saudi Arabia, Michael Springman, spoke to us from Washington, D.C. And we had the Secretary General at the Next Century Foundation, William Morris, who spoke to us from London. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitakway and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.